Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Hoodoo Voodoo Cafe. Today, we're going to be talking about devil worship, witchcraft, and God's craft. And I want to use, you know, the Bible, because this is what so many of us know, to show you how this practice was very commonplace. Okay, it was very commonplace. And as patriarchal societies started to gain a foothold, these practices were looked at as devil worship and talking to spirits, and you had to be burned at the stake and so on and so forth. I use the Bible because this is what a lot of us have been brought up on. This is what we believe. This is what we've been taught to believe. And sometimes when you start practicing something different, you have to adjust. You have to adjust because your brain has been washed in a certain way. And it's you, all you're conditioned to say is, thank you, Jesus, that, you know, and this is what we know. And this same book is what some people say God says what readers do is going to send them to hell. So I want to prove a point here and use the very book that you say God said is going to send spiritualists and readers to hell to show you how this was very commonplace and how you haven't really been reading your Bible. You haven't been reading it as a historical book, not as a, you see, you look at it as a religious book and everything that you know about it is what someone told you. You haven't taken the time to sit down and read it, you know, like you would read a magazine cover to cover or a book that you're interested in. You can't take parts of a book and then make it your reality. And it's the reality for everybody else because someone told you that. All right. So let's go ahead and dive in. We're going to start with the first book of Samuel in chapter 28. It talks here about Samuel dying. Samuel was a prophet, and it talks about Samuel dying, and it talks about Saul taking over. It says here, it says, meanwhile, Saul had been trying to get rid of everyone who spoke with the spirits of the dead. But one day the Philistines brought their soldiers together to attack Israel. And it is said to Saul, you guys are going to have to fight. You know, this is a war. You're going to have to fight. All right. So the Philistines, it says here in verse 4, the Philistines went to Shunem and set up camp. And Saul called the army of Israel together, and they set up camp there at Gilboa. All right. It says Saul took one look at the Philistine army and started shaking with fear. So he asked the Lord. So Saul goes to the Lord because Samuel is dead. He can't talk to the Lord anymore. He can't speak to the ancestors anymore, you know, by way of spirit, because Samuel is dead. All right. So Saul goes to the Lord. He asked the Lord what to do, but the Lord would not answer. It says the Lord would not answer either in a dream or by a priest or by a prophet. Now, remember, Samuel was dead. Saul had driven all of the people out of the land that could speak to the dead spirits. Okay. So when he goes to God and he doesn't get an answer, Saul says to his officers, he says, find me a woman who can talk to the spirits of the dead, and I'll go to her and find out what's going to happen. Now, here we are. God would not talk to him through a priest. Priest is male. He would not talk to him through a prophet. Prophet is male. He would not give him any answers through a dream. He would not speak to the men because this was a female driven practice mainly. Okay. And it was held in very high esteem in matriarchal times. So this is why he says, go and find a woman that can speak to the prophets or that can speak to the dead. Okay. So the servant said to him, there is a woman at Endor who can talk to the spirits of the dead. But see, remember, Saul had driven all the women out of the land so that the priests and the prophets could be the ones that would give the message. All right. So here he has to go right back to the very people or the very woman or the very readers that he had driven out of the land. That night, Saul put on different clothing so nobody could recognize him. Then he and two of his men went to the woman and asked, will you bring up the ghost of someone for us? So they go to this woman for a reading. They go to her for a reading. Okay. The woman said, "Why are you trying to trick me and get me killed? You know King Saul has gotten rid of everyone who talks to the spirits of the dead." Saul replied, "I swear by the living Lord that nothing will happen to you because of this." Now, here you are ridding the readers out of the land, but when you need something, these are the very people that you have to go to, and you're going to swear by God that nothing is going to happen to her. Okay? It's in your book. It's in the book that you say you believe in. Okay? So the woman says, "Who do you want me to bring up?" Saul says, "Bring up the ghost of Samuel." When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed. Then she turned to Saul and said, "You've tricked me. You're the king." "Don't be afraid," Saul replied. "Just tell me what you see." So when she pulled up, when she brought Samuel back, when she pulled up the ghost of Samuel, Samuel let her see everything. This is Saul, okay? He's the one who drove everybody out of the land, and he can very well kill you because you're bringing me up, all right? So he said, "Don't be afraid." So Saul says, "Look, yes, I am the king, but don't be afraid. Just tell me what you see." So she answered. She said, "I see a spirit rising up out of the ground." And they said, "Well, what does it look like?" "It looks like an old man wearing a robe." Saul knew it was Samuel, so he bowed down low. And then it says here, "Why are you bothering me by bringing me up like this?" Samuel asked him. What do you want? "I'm terribly worried," Saul answered. "The Philistines are about to attack me. God has turned his back on me and won't answer any more by prophets or by dreams. What should I do?" Okay, so here is Saul talking to a dead spirit to find out what he needs to do. And the only way that he could talk to this dead spirit was by way of this woman. But we go into hell. It's in your book, okay? If the Lord, now this is what Samuel says to Saul, all right? The ghost of Samuel says this to Saul. "If the Lord has turned away from you and is now your enemy," now remember, he drove all of the people that could speak to the dead out of the land, all right? "Don't ask me what to do. I've already told you, the Lord has sworn to take the kingdom from you and to give it to David. And that's just what he's doing." Okay? So the Lord is angry with you. All right? So, and sent somebody to destroy you. And the Lord will defeat you and will let the Philistines defeat Israel's army. And you and your sons will join me down here in the world of the dead. Okay, so here is a king who have driven all of the sacred divine women and the seers out of the land for his patriarchal gain and could not maintain it without those very women, without those very seers. And Saul said it to himself, "Look, God has turned his back on you. There's nothing I can do." Samuel told Saul, "Look, God has turned his back on you. There's nothing I can do for you. I told you. And because of this, because of what you've done, God is going to let the army defeat Israel. And all y'all going to die. I'll see you when you get here." Okay? So this is in your book. This is in your Bible. Okay? King Saul could not see anything, could not do anything, could not go anywhere. All right? Could not win. God was against him for what he had done. All right? Story number two. Let's look at Jonah and the whale. Okay? Let's go to Jonah. It says here, "One day the Lord told Jonah, the son of Amittai, to go to the great city of Nineveh and say to the people, 'The Lord has seen your terrible sins. You are doomed.'" Instead, Jonah decides to run, okay? So the story goes on and it talks about how he gets on this ship and then everybody is afraid because, you know, it starts to go crazy on the ship. The winds get high, you know, they don't understand what happened. The sailors on there, they're frightened. 1 in 5 says the sailors were frightened and they all started praying to their gods. So that lets you know everybody didn't serve the same God. You had all these sailors on this ship. They were all scared because the Jonah was on it trying to run from God, and God was getting ready to cough him up out of that ocean. Okay? And it says here the sailors were afraid, and they all started praying to their gods. They didn't say they all started praying to God, to their God. So, and it says in Numbers, right? It says in Old Testament, they will send you to a land and serve a God that your forefathers have not known. See, we need to find out who our forefathers will serve. All right. So it says here, it says they even threw the ship's cargo overboard to make sure that the ship was lighter. All this time, Jonah was down below, sound asleep. Jonah didn't know what was going on. And finally, the sailors got together and said, let's ask our gods to show us who caused this trouble. Okay? Who caused this trouble? So what did they do? They started casting lots. Okay? And in that time, to cast a lot was to find out what was going on or what they needed to do. It says, come, let us cast lots so we may learn who is to blame for this disaster. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they each said to one another, come, let us cast lots. So they had to what? Divine to see what the problem was and why they were having so many problems on the ship and why they were about to die. Because Jonah was running from a mission or an assignment from the ancestors. See, that's what happens when you run from your assignment from the ancestors. They slow walk you down. And it does not matter who tries to help you. They are going down with you. Trust and believe what I tell you. Okay? See, we are a people with a mission. We are a people with an assignment. But see, we're so busy trying to live a bling life when our melanin is the bling. They won't tell you that, and you won't even have enough sense to go and research it. But the people who are trying to use their God-given talents because of our divine selves that the spirit and the ancestors have created us to be, oh, we going to hell. Because your Bible tells you that what we do is wrong. And I'm telling you right here, you've been lied to, and you're not studying to show yourself approved. Okay? So they're casting lots, all right, to find out what's going on in the ship. And then after they cast the lots, guess what happened? They got to cough Jonah up. Jonah got to go. They're going to throw Jonah overboard. They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard, but they had to. And that's what it is sometimes. When you have a mission or you have something to do and you want to run from that mission, you cannot hide from the ancestors. You're going to do what you have to do. And let me tell you something. When you do have a mission, 9 times out of 10, you don't want to do it. So everybody out here talking about, oh, I want to be a priestess. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, that's because the spirit ain't called you to do it. If you were really called to do this, you're going to run. It's only natural. You're going to run because you don't want that responsibility, but you can't run. And anywhere that you run to, you're going to be shut down. So if you're gung-ho to do this, nobody called you. Nobody called you. Because nobody wants to take on this responsibility. They make you take on this responsibility. And I guarantee it's in your DNA. Somebody in your line did this work. Some woman in your line did the work. Okay? Some man in your line did the work. It's in your DNA. You can't just pick up a book, decide that you're going to read Tarot for 3 weeks. You get your cards, you do a reading for somebody, and you get two readings right, or they're accurate, okay? And then all of a sudden you're a healer, you're a reader, you're a spiritualist. No, you're not. There was some spirit that was waiting, because all kinds of spirits can read through you, okay? You need to know who's reading through you. And they can be accurate as well. And they pounce on people who don't have the protection that they need, and they're looking for glory, and they're looking for, and then you got to pay the piper, you're not ready. Okay? Story number 3. We're going to go to Numbers 22. Okay? Get your Bibles ready. We're going to go to the story of Balak. All right? Now, here's a story. Starts out, Numbers 22, it says, then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab and camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified because there were so many people. Indeed, Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "This horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of a field." So Balak, son of Zippor, who was the king of Moab at the time, sent messages to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor, near the Euphrates, in his native land. Balak said, "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whatever or whoever you blessed is blessed and whoever you cursed is cursed." Okay? The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the fee for divination. So here it tells you clearly, these are not regular people. These are kings. That's how regal this practice used to be. That's how revered it used to be. Sovereigns, kings, queens would come for guidance from readers, spiritualists, mediums, to find out what it is they needed to do or how to help their people. This is how grand this profession used to be, okay, in the spiritual realm, all right? Because a country could not be run without a prophet or a prophetess in the day, back in the day, all right? So it says here, they go and they have their money to pay the fee, okay, to have the reading done, the divination done. When they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak said. Balak said to them, "Spend the night." I'm sorry, this is what Balaam said. "Spend the night. I'll report back to you with an answer from the Lord in the morning," pretty much, okay? So Balak, his people go to Balaam. They pay the fee for the divination. Balaam says, "Okay, look, I got to talk to the ancestors. I got to see what they say about this. Hang out, make yourself comfortable, and get back with you in the morning." So that night, it says God came to Balaam and asked, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people has come out of Egypt, covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away." Now this is Balaam talking to God. All right? God came to Balaam that night. But God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed." So that lets you know, somebody could be trying to put a curse on you, but if you bless, ain't gonna happen, right? Now, the next morning, Balaam got up and said to Balak's officials, "Go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." Okay? Moabites returned to Balak, tell Balak, "Look, Balaam's not coming. He refused. The Lord told him not to come," all right? Balak sent other officials, more numerous and more distinguished than the first. They came to Balaam and said, "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Do not let anything keep you from coming to me, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me." But Balaam answered them. He said, "Look, even if Balak gave me all the silver and all the gold in his palace, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Now you two, spend the night, hang out, make yourself comfortable, so that I can find out what else the Lord or the ancestors or the spirits got to tell me about this situation right here." So they send more people, they send more distinguished officials, okay? And Balak is like, "Look, dude, I'll give it to you, whatever you want, all right? I'll pay you, okay?" Balaam said, "Look, it doesn't matter what you pay me." And sometimes you got to tell people that it doesn't matter what you want to give me. Okay? I can't do it if the spirits are not going to move it. And this is what is happening in this transaction right here. People who tell other spiritualists that you're going to hell if you're doing readings and you're doing spiritual work. This is for you. Okay? Here it is clearly in your Bible where they took a fee for the divination and God comes to Balaam and says, "Look, what's going on? Who are these people?" Balaam tells him who the people are. God tells him what to do, what not to do. Okay? So it goes on to talk about how Balaam tells him, look, silver, gold, your whole mansion, I can't go. I can't go. You know what I'm saying? I can't curse these people. All right? I can't do it because God is not going to allow it. So that goes to show you, spiritual workers, it doesn't really matter if you initiated, how many initiations you got. You just can't go around cursing people because they said something that you didn't like, or they call you a name, and you can't go around blessing people that God don't want you to bless. All of our strength comes from our spirits and ancestors that walk with us. And they will tell you if you divine properly. I've had people come to me, you know, my son, my daughter, my this, my that, can't do the work. They need to learn. If they don't go to jail now, the next time is going to be worse. So I can't help you. Your child got to go. See what I'm saying? That's like that Jonah thing. Got to throw them overboard to save their life. But when a spiritualist is not really called to do this work and you don't take on the responsibility that needs to be taken on, because every person that you deal with, you're going to have to answer for when you leave here. Trust and believe me. Every single one. Okay? I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. All right? So you take on all these people and you take their money and you do this work for them, and you know that this person needs to kind of pay the price. That person is going to suffer. The punishment for that person that you're trying to help, that you shouldn't be helping, that needs to pay the price, is his punishment is going to be worse second time around. And your punishment is going to be worse. You're going to have issues with money. See, when the spirit calls you to do this work, you don't need a job. Okay? When the spirit calls you to do this work truly, you don't need to scam people. You don't need to tell a person, if it's time for you to pay your rent, okay, and you can't pay your rent, but somebody comes to you and they're like, well, you know, I want to do this reading, and you know damn well you don't see a curse on nobody, but you're going to tell them you're cursed, your mama cursed, your daddy cursed, your kids cursed, everybody cursed, and if you don't get this work done, everybody going to die. People will tell you that shit. They will tell you that. Absolutely they will, to get your money, because they have a need to fill. But see, the spirit, if you are called to do this work, they're going to put your back up against the wall to see if you're going to use what you have with integrity. If you're going to tell that person, no, look, hey, all you need to do, go to Kroger, get you some sea salt, bathe in a couple of days, you'll be all right. Okay? Something that you want to charge them $500 for, $1,000 for, when they could have went to Kroger and spent $1.75. See, the spirit will test you to see what you're going to do. And when they test you to see what you're going to do, after they see what you do, that is going to determine whether they're going to bless you to go higher in this craft, or they're going to curse you. You're always going to be hand to mouth, trying to scam somebody, trolling people, and then trying to find how you're going to get your next dollar made. And you need somebody to help you pay your bills. There's a level of integrity, dignity that goes with this practice. As you can see here, I've read it to you. God is involved in all of these three incidents right here. God was involved with Jonah. They had to cast lots, cast them over. God was involved with Balaam. God spoke to Balaam. Saul had to go to a woman so that she could call up the spirit. So the next time you say that we're doing something wrong, that it is not of God, you're not supposed to know this, your level of Christianity has blinded you to the truth. Because the thing about African traditional practices, working with your ancestors, and dealing with Christianity is two completely different things, okay? With Christianity, you're going to do that vampire stuff. You're going to be washing the blood and eat some bodies, okay? And then you're going to think that everything that you've done is okay, and you're forgiven, okay, after you washed in the blood and eat the body. But they tell us we're cannibals, okay. African ancestry and ancestral worship and ancestral acknowledgement will not allow you to be lazy. Your ass is going to do your work. Yeah, you're going to do your work. You're going to do it. Because you are going to find out what your assignment is. And you are going to take responsibility for your actions. Yes, you will. You are not going to be able to say, oh, I don't know. Because why? You're going to be able to go to the oracle, and the ancestors are going to tell you exactly what it is you need to do. And if you don't follow that thing, watch you get jacked up. That's why most of us are jacked up out here now. That's why we don't have any protection. Because we've turned our very backs on the very thing that they took from us when they brought us over here. When they brought us over here, they took, the first thing they took was our ability to practice our traditional religions, because they knew what power there was in them. They knew that if we called on our spirits, if we were able to call on our gods, they wouldn't have got as far as they got. And if we didn't have so many sellout pastors, okay, feeding us with this crap about we're going to get it in heaven and da da, and voodoo is wrong and evil is wrong, we would be a lot better off right now. We really, really would. We want to be like everybody else. We want to do everything that everybody else do, and nobody likes us. Nobody likes us. Okay? There's a passage in Jeremiah where it says, you know, I picked you up when you was in the womb. Nobody knew you. But then you want to go play the whore with everybody else. And everybody hates you. That's why people don't like us. Not only because of our genetic genius, okay? Because you out here trying to buy bling when you are bling, all right? There's a lot of reasons why we're messed up. Because we continuously turn our backs on each other. We continuously say what God has given us is evil and is of the devil. And I wouldn't do that. And I'm going to. Listen, I don't care what you do. Okay? You can do what you want to do. I've been doing this for 30 years. And ain't nobody going to tell me when to get up. They're not going to tell me when to go to the bathroom. They're not going to tell me when I can go on vacation. They're not going to tell me how I can wear my hair. They're not going to tell me anything. Because my spirits, my ancestors provide for me. Why? Because I know what my mission is. And that's what a lot of people need to do. Y'all really need to find out what y'all mission is. Instead of trying to have relationships that ain't working. Okay? Because you don't have nothing to offer and neither do they. So all you getting is sex that ain't lasting. And it's community penis. Okay? Community penis. So you too busy trying to find out what a man is doing. I am against relationships, but I'm against these relationships that are not working and these crazy women who have gifts. But you so busy trying to find a relationship that you can't even tap into who you truly are. You so busy trying to get used while he got a side piece and you worrying about that instead of what the ancestors and spirits have put you here to do. You don't know what your gifts are. You don't know what you're capable of. But you're going to tell me I'm going to hell for what I'm doing. But you can't pay your bills. I think we really need to start looking at spirituality from a whole nother perspective. We really, really do. Because, you know, what we have been doing, it is not working for us. It is not working for us anymore. It has not worked for us for the longest time. Yes, at one time, that was all that we knew. That was all that we had, but now it is time to start looking at a whole new perspective. It is time to start looking at things from a different light. We have got to get rid of all of the lies. We've got to get rid of all of the hate that we have for each other. You treat people better that don't even look like you better than you treat your own family members. Okay, there's a lot going on here, and I'm bringing these things up because this is the result of us turning our backs on our gods. And saying that those things are evil and those things are of the devil. Okay. So I just wanted to put out this podcast and to show Christians mainly, you know, that we as traditional practitioners, we are connected with God. We are as gods, knowing good and evil. It tells you that in Genesis. Okay. We are. Because we can connect directly with our ancestors and we can find out what it is that you need to be doing. And you've been going to church for 50 years and you still begging somebody to pray for you because you got the sugar and you got the high blood pressure and the cholesterol because they won't even teach you how to eat properly. Okay. So I just wanted to leave you guys with this. I did. And I hope that it helps somebody. I hope that it helps you to at least start to read more, okay, and explore more and not just go on what someone told you, but what is real, okay, what you've researched on your own, what you've tried, okay? Again, don't knock it till you try it. All right, guys, I thank you so much for joining me. Have a great one.
Check my repertoire, don't check me now. That's his checks involved. I've been feeling like.